Hello everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Market Peter podcast. We know we've been gone for a while, but we're excited with this fifth episode because we have a special guest today who will be, of course, discussing with us the topic for the episode. Otherwise, I think I'll just get into it. Anto, Raikat, maybe you can just say hi.
Oh, hi guys. It's been a while. We've not recorded in like 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah.
I think something like that. So it feels good to be back. And we're back bearing gifts. This is our first ever guest. We've never had a guest before. So yeah. First off, just right off the bat, that's a milestone. Raikat?
Well, it's a pleasure to be back with the team. Together, I know everyone has taken their time off to be here today. But it's a good thing to we come together, we discuss the markets, and get to see what's in the outlook. And also, I'm also excited that we have a visitor today, our first ever.
So, yeah, just to introduce our person of the hour, if I can say, Faith, maybe just give us a brief introduction of yourself, what you do. You can also tell us how you heard about the podcast.
Okay, thank you so much, Abraham. I'm Faith Otieno, research analyst intern at AB Axis. I'll just say what you do in a nutshell. I believe you all are aware what research analysts do. Yeah. So majorly, we look at what's going on in the market, do some reports. Also, we'll have to present them. Yeah. So it's majorly just telling investors this is what is going on. Yeah, and this, we feel like this is what you need to do at this particular time.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that's it. How I heard about this, I'll say I've been talking to Anthony for quite some time. So yeah, I got to know the Market Meter podcast through Anthony.
I hope you've had one of the episodes at least.
Yeah, I have. I think the first episode you recorded. Yeah.
Thanks for the support.
Guess you're the new one.
When I normally get time, I do. Wow. It's just that at times you get tired over the weekend. Yeah, you know how.
Yeah. But it's encouraging. At least we know that the guys out there listening to some of our ideas and our discussions. Okay. Yeah, thanks for that, Faith. Before we go into the topic of the day, I mean, it's been 2 weeks, so we need to talk about the developments that have been occurring in the financial markets, both globally, regionally, and of course, domestically. Then also touch a bit on geopolitics and the likes. So I think there are two major things that maybe we can discuss. First of all, of course, Safaricom share price and what's occurring in Ethiopia and how it's going to probably affect Safaricom's expansion and trading activity. Then something surprising happened in Nigeria between MTN and Airtel. Yeah, these telecoms companies were approved by the Central Bank of Nigeria to undertake depositing activities and other money-related transactions. So just we can probably start from the Safaricom point of view. Anto, what are your 2 cents on the same?
I didn't expect to be called up to comment on this as the first one. So I'll reserve my comments until Faith just graces us with her brilliance, because I know what she does day and night.
Okay, thank you so much. On Safaricom, the expansion to Ethiopia, there's been the conflict, state of emergency being declared, and actually expected that to at least have an impact on the Safaricom shares. But since the operation has not yet started, we actually don't expect much on their financials. So that's what we can say at the moment. So it's not, we don't expect much in terms of the operations or something. But investors might view that as a negative news. It might have some impact, and we've seen that. During this week, Safaricom has shared price.
I think it closed the week at 140.
I think it was at 41 point. Was that 41 point something? Yeah, I think.
So maybe in your view, you'd say it's not likely to hurt investor confidence that much?
Not really. The expansion into Ethiopia has not yet been in their books of accounts. So,
That's a solid perspective. Not to get too emotional, yeah, about what's going on. Raikad, what are you thinking about the same?
Hey, well, from my end, I'm just smiling, salty and furaisha here. But anyway, well, I'd say that the most of the orders that I've seen going through the brokerage where I am is most people are sellers in general. Get so many sales with regards to Safaricom. I don't think they look at fundamentals as such. I think for them it's just more revamping their cash. But look at it from an investor perspective. Well, then goodbye for everyone. Because if Ethiopia will settle down, they get. I'm not sure how much have they already invested.
Not yet. Actually, the funding delayed, so I don't think they have. They've not yet started the operations there.
On that very thought, given the fact that you're going to be having, you know, elections next year, and you already have, I don't know if this is the geopolitical tensions causing the sell-off in SAF, because even the banking counters have pulled back. So it's not isolated to Safaricom. That's why I'm inclined to agree with Faith, the way she has said that they have not yet started operating in Ethiopia. So this sell-off is just, it seems to be cutting across and not just isolated to Safaricom. But of course, there's always a level of impact. The whole point of a market is that everyone has their own opinion. But do you guys think now, because the election is coming next year, we might see a further sell-off? Like, we'll never again get people being very bullish on local stocks?
Yeah, I mean, it happens every 5 years, yeah? There's usually a two-year, two-and-a-half period, especially where foreign investors exit the Kenyan market, because our political climate is very unpredictable. And I think following 2007, the skepticism just got added to, if I can say, got doubled, for lack of better words. So that, in my belief, is bound to happen. I mean, it's something also Uhuru has talked about when they were trying to pass this project, BBI. One of the things they kept on debating, or rather trying to push down our throats, was the narrative, which I wouldn't even say it's a narrative. It's actually a fact that it's like the economy of Kenya only functions for 3 years or 2.5 years in every election cycle. But the rest of the time, people are very scared of putting money in terms of investment, especially foreigners, because they don't know what the outcome of an election will be.
Yeah, but as always, the perpetual optimist and opportunist, Raikad, the way you said about getting cheap prices, I think that's one of the few advantages of having this five-year cycle, is that you might get a chance to buy some good stocks at a discount if you're really smart with what you're. And you're optimistic about the outcome of the election, you know, because you can't take these things for granted.
Faith, any thoughts you'd like to give?
Like I said before, I see Safaricom has a strong fundamental. So maybe what I'll say, if I were an investor, maybe that would be the best time for me to get the shares.
Yeah. Okay. So... just to change the topic a bit, let's move to a much more regional context. MTN and Airtel Nigeria. So this is why I really want us to just touch on this briefly before we go into the topic of the day. Kenya led the way with M-Pesa, but we can already see the bold step the Central Bank of Nigeria is taking with these two telecoms companies to integrate payment systems with these telecoms providers. And one of the things they're saying is they want to promote financial inclusion, which, I mean, with M-Pesa and its success, we have actually seen take place. So we're living in the age of fintech. We're living in the age of financial services moving away, to a certain degree, away from the banks. I mean, one of the reasons I think it was MPs who wanted to break up Safaricom at some point, and also Airtel and Telkom had complained. Is how much M-Pesa has been integrated into our daily lives, whether it's savings, whether it's loans, whether it's payment, whether it's transfer of cash. It's really involved, or rather part and parcel of now what makes us Kenyan. So in light of the same, I'd just like to get like your views, what you guys are thinking in terms of that development. Are we potentially looking at the future of fintech in terms of money? Like, is that how the world is going to proceed? Is that how Kenya should also follow suit? Vikad?
Well, I'd say they are a bit late to the game. In terms of the economy size, we'll expect them to like adapt a bit quickly. So I think FS Africa should have already covered all the regions by now. Because since its inception of the M-Pesa Africa and M-Pesa Global as its products, I think by now they should have covered Nigeria or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also I think M-Pesa itself has a first mover advantage. Like they figured out the game before everyone else. They could have just replicated it across Africa. But as always, I think for some of these places, like you've said, like Nigeria now, it would be a battleground. Even if M-Pesa were to make it to let's say Nigeria, there'll be stiffer competition just because these guys, first of all, seem to have the government on their side. So if they hit the ground running, they'll figure things out also. And, you know, potential competition could be very stiff in future, for sure. But the move to Ethiopia, I think, is long overdue, and it makes sense. And I'm definitely excited to see us Kenyan companies, you know, really going out there and expanding regionally. It's going to be a very interesting few decades to come.
Yeah, I completely agree. So I don't know if there are any other updates anyone would like us to just touch on briefly.
You talked about MTN. I have two. First, that MTN. MTN Uganda has an IPO.
Most
of us here know. Yeah. It's gathering some interest, you know, because most people right now, when they see that MTN Uganda IPO, it's reminiscent of the Safaricom IPO. And everyone who didn't invest at that time, they're usually like, I wish I'd invested at that time. So I think that's why you're seeing a lot of Kenyan interest in investing in that MTN IPO. Because even at work, we'll be getting a lot of queries about the MTN IPO, clients wanting to take part in the IPO. So
yeah,
definitely exciting, honestly. I think if anyone has some money on the side, you can definitely jump on that one.
Faith, do you think we should invest in MTN Uganda?
Of course. It's a good investment, of course. Of course you should.
I need to make it part of my portfolio now, moving forward.
Yeah, and actually there's been questions over that.
Mm-hmm.
It was a business, it was a story on Business Daily, I think it was on Thursday. Yeah, they said it was open now for Kenyans. I think maybe they're just not aware of what to do, you know, now that they have to register with the brokerage firm that's in Uganda, under Uganda security. Yeah. So, you know, most of them think it's been cross-listed in Kenya. I think that's where the confusion is.
Oh, yeah, that's good information, by the way. So that guys don't confuse, it's like it's only listed on Uganda Stock Exchange. But I saw the CMA had given approval for brokerage firms to purchase, market. Yeah? Yeah.
Yeah, I think though even the CEO, the MTN Uganda CEO and some guy from Diane Blair, I think Diane Blair and handling the transaction. Yeah. And
actually, it's them.
Yeah, it's them. Yeah, so they had their own Monaco Capital. And Stanbic too. Okay.
Yeah.
Yesterday they own Monaco Capital for the Friday. They usually have a record. Twitter Spaces meeting every Friday. They were on there and like they spoke about the whole IPO. And there was genuine interest from Kenyans and Kenyans particularly. I'm certain I'll not be shocked if I find like the Kenyans. Okay, this is highly unlikely, but the amount of Kenyans who invested will be more than Ugandans, because Kenyans kumbuka, we missed out on stuff. This one we have to jump with. It's going to be a very interesting counter to trade. I think I've never traded Ugandan stocks, but I think it's going to be like the Safaricom of Uganda.
Yeah, because if you compare like the share price of MTN South Africa, hey, it's quite actually very high compared to the 6 shillings a share that Uganda want to IPO at.
But does anyone know the market share of MTN Uganda? Like, is it as dominant as Safaricom, or I honestly don't know what goes on there. Faith?
I haven't gone through it that much, but from what I know is they've actually been performing well. That's what I know. Okay, that was just a statement. I was still on the business daily. Yeah. But I haven't gone through like the company, maybe trying to analyze it or something.
Yeah, we can definitely cover that one on the upcoming episodes. For sure. And the second one, I think the second thing that I had in mind was what we talked about this with Abraham during the week. Uchumi, it was even on Business Daily. Uchumi has not reported financial statements in 4 years. Why is it still trading at the C? That's the question.
I don't understand why the CMA has not delisted them, because they should have done that already.
They were actually blaming the delay in the financial statements. They were saying that it's because they wanted to have a turnaround strategy. That's why they've not yet released the statement. But it's not even making sense. Turnaround strategy for 4 good years.
Yeah, that's great. Even when I told Abram, he was equally a surprise. He was just like, what's that about? First of all, even if that's happening, we're not refuting that you guys are putting in a turnaround strategy. What you're saying is, while you're doing that, you should not be still be listed at the NSE.
Actually, we had that discussion, and we were even asking ourselves, are there even branches of Uchumi around?
Mm-hmm.
But then let's not be too harsh on them. I've seen a few branches, Gong Road and Langata Road. So there might be a turnaround strategy.
Okay, I haven't seen one in this anyway. I think they're all closed.
They should just be a spark for like something like Naivas.
Before now we shift to the main topic of the day, just for our listeners on a convenience, could you probably explain what a spark is to them?
Oh, a spark is a special purpose acquisition company, whereby it's usually like a company which acts like a share that is listed on the trading platform, on the trading market, whereby they want to go through so much scrutiny so they can become listed. So they use the special purpose acquisition company as like a show listed in the capital markets. So it's a SPAC.
Yeah. They're also called blank check companies. I think I'll share a link on our Twitter page. I actually wrote a blog post about it. I don't know if you guys have read it, Record. I wrote a primer on them late last year. I wrote a blog post, so I'll share it there. You can get more information. But I think it's the US is always at the cutting edge of financial innovation. I think that's a very good, if implemented in the local market, it would really help a lot, because most companies don't want to get listed. They'd rather raise capital through maybe loans or have private equity or anything of that sort. But most companies don't want to get listed. So if you can shorten the process of getting listed by setting up SPACs, that would really help improve our trading volumes just generally. Because if investors have more options, you're more likely to get a lot of interest in the markets than having, you know, a limited number of listed companies.
And
to add to that, Abu, how Trump deals with Trump media.
Oh, lakini huko kuna ukora mingi. Let's not get into that debate. I have my doubts about it. Yeah. So maybe we can now just shift gears. I think that we've just touched on a few updates that took place in the last 2 weeks. So we can go into what really we wanted to discuss in this episode, which is the whole element of women within financial markets, these issues related to geopolitics, economics, etc. So Faith has done quite a good introduction. We don't need to do that again. but I think at this point we just want to like engage you and understand where exactly or whether there's a difference or if there are any challenges that are quite different as a lady within this field. I remember I was telling Anto, I don't know if it was Anto Reichard in the course of the week, yeah, that men are twice as likely as women to invest in cryptocurrency, for example, when it comes to making money or looking for profit and the likes. Men are more likely to take these risks when it comes to representation in corporate setups. You find that I think the global statistics indicate it's about only 21% is of the female gender. So more than three quarters is still men. So a lot of these decisions, the bankers on Wall Street, all the way up to here in Kenya, in Nairobi, the boards of maybe investment banks, the boards of major financial institutions, probably. So on that note, we'll start from a very simple point of view. Could you like explain to us maybe your investment philosophy as an individual?
Okay. So as an individual,
if you have one, that is, I'm assuming you have an investment philosophy.
Yeah, I do. So what maybe I'll say is, personally, I invest in instruments that I understand. I also tend to be cautious. So I'll say I'm not someone who has a high risk appetite.
Yeah.
So count me out when it comes to crypto. Very volatile.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So I'd rather earn the little, you know, but I'm sure whatever investor is there.
Reika, I know you have a huge appetite for risk. Do you have your Bitcoin holding at the moment? I don't know, Shuku, you have one Bitcoin, bro. Anto. I don't have like 0.00 something but a Bitcoin.
Dekulo, you wanna, is that chill that you never participated in Bitcoin in case it goes?
Yeah, I think as Faith has said, I'm fundamentally conservative, but parts of my portfolio, as me and Rekad usually do this, part of the portfolio you preserve for aggressive investments that, you know, you can take a significantly higher degree of risk. And crypto is one of those things that it's not cyclical. You know, you can say you're going to buy commodities now, but commodities are cyclical. If there's a bust tomorrow, the stock market crashes, commodity prices are also likely to crash. But for something like Bitcoin, it's not a cyclical trend. It's a secular trend. Secular means it transcends. It's going to transcend time. It's changing how we transact, how we view money as humans. So I'm not saying all these coins, shit coins, are going to be there in 5 years, because that would be absurd.
XYZ coin, eh?
Yeah, XYZ coin, exactly. Konza Shiba, there's been a whole other thing. We'll get into that later. Anyway, what I'm saying is, in 20, 30 years, it doesn't mean all these cryptos, all these coins will be in existence, but you can be sure cryptocurrency will be used in one form or another. So it's pretty much a bet on the future. For me, I'm a macro guy, and I think it's a great macro opportunity to jump on a secular trend. I'm not vouching for crypto, but what I'm saying is it's an essential part of human development right now, and it's going to be around for a minute. So
yeah,
you can't afford to be ignorant to that.
I hope, Faith, that is sort of improving your appetite for this type of risk.
Okay, I'll even say what actually really discouraged me from crypto. I was at CIC, so I went and asked the portfolio manager, what exactly do you know about crypto? Can you guys invest in crypto? I know what he told me was like, no, we can't. I don't even understand how it works, so I just can't.
Yeah. actually, this is so coincidental. Just to add, I remember when in school they brought an investment banker to speak to us during our company law class, and I was really pushing for that crypto thing, and same response, like, we don't understand it, it's a scam, etc., etc.
Yeah. I've tried reading articles, but okay, maybe if you make me understand, I'll invest in it.
listen to our podcast. We have an episode dedicated to that coming soon.
Maybe that will change my mind.
Okay, so just on that note, where you've talked about risk and the likes, I'd like to find out, like, for you as a lady, what drove you to become, I don't know what your eventual goal is, but what drove you to pursue this goal of a career in financial markets and financial investments? And maybe you can even share us where you want to read. I don't know if that's something you're willing to talk about, but feel free.
Okay, thank you. So it's my interest in the stock market. I'll just say this. I don't like accounting that much, so accounting. But actually what really motivated me is when I was at CIC as an attachee. So I was asking questions on where exactly I needed to be so that at least a place there would be growth. So the guys I asked around were like, okay, if you're doing finance, research is okay, because at least it gives you that that time for, okay, you will get to grow in that industry. And like accounting, I'm not saying accounting is bad, but it's somehow limited. Mm. Maybe you be an accountant, or you decide to go be an auditor, but you know, research. Plus, anyway, research is fun. Yeah.
It's fun.
At the same time, it's hectic. Because you have to think, and think, you know?
Yeah. You're very afraid of someone who says research is fun, because, hey, even the one to tell people, like, wait.
I think she's going to become a portfolio manager. I'm going to listen to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, just getting to analyze information, you know, and just the interest, actually my interest in stock market, that is what drove me into research. Yeah, I really wanted to know more. And you know, now that I'm there, okay, I'm getting the experience.
Yeah.
It's not what I thought.
Have you found it more technical?
It is. You know, I used to be told, are you sure you really want to be in research? I was telling the guys, yeah, I'm sure I want. You'll feel like quitting, but anyway, you'll just come and tell us. Okay, I'm giving them feedback right now. Anyway.
Yeah. So maybe our in-house Warren Buffett, Raikard. Has that been your experience with the research also?
In terms of the research, yeah, I'm excited about faith. I wanted to continue, but not doing it.
Mm.
Actually, I've never really met a lady who is into stocks, by the way.
I watch Havana. This Nairobi.
They're just quiet. Have you checked the reports that are normally circulated? The people.
I need to say hi more. Tony, usually, you've been knowing Faith all this while, you've never told me about her.
You didn't ask. You just had to ask. But as you said, I think ladies are there. I know a couple of them. Maybe, I don't know, Raikard, what made you arrive at the opinion that there are very few ladies in financial markets, basically?
They just want you to tell them where to invest. They don't actually really want to understand how to fish for themselves. They just want to be given fish.
I don't know if Faith has a rebuttal for that.
Well, that's quite unfortunate. But I'll say, ladies are in this industry. Maybe you've not just interacted with them. Because I also used to think of the same thing, but I've come to realize, yeah, we are many. Yeah,
actually, now that interestingly brings me like to another question I'd like to just ask you.
Yes.
What are like some of the stereotypical notions you have faced as a lady within this financial field? You know, have you ever been undermined, or have people looked down upon you? Or, I mean, are there things that probably guys assume, like Raikard, assume that there are no ladies, and you have to show that actually there are ladies in this field and they're equally competent and even better than probably men.
Okay, what I would say is, you know, when people hear about the word finance, what comes into their mind is figures. Maybe we'll say ladies fear figures. Yeah.
Mm.
That's something that knowing, you know, someone just hears you deal with figures the whole day and they're like, no, I can't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then also, you know, you have to work for long hours, which that really requires a lot of commitment. So if you're not that person who's not committed, then it's not a place you're supposed to be in. So maybe I'll say, research requires commitment, and then with the figures, and then, you know, with the analysis. So maybe these are some of the things that we can say people fear. But I've seen ladies step up. Yeah, we don't fear it anymore.
But I mean, just as you're saying that, I know maybe I've never told Kina Anto this. The first course I did in uni was actually economics, and I went for the orientation at UN, and I just saw calculus one. Nikahepa hiyo kitu bana. So I couldn't handle. That's how I ended up in law school. So I don't think it only applies to ladies. I think also
you're living walking meme. There's a meme I saw today. You were saying most people do law because it's the most high paying job that doesn't require maths.
Oh my god, that is accurate. I was having a debate with a lawyer today whether we do a real job that requires payment. That is so accurate. But yeah, I think that's a very good perspective you've given, Faith. Just breaking those stereotypical notions. And the plenty of ladies who I would say, I mean, even in terms of those figures, they don't fear them, they take that head on. And they've excelled in that field. You've been, can we say you've excelled or not yet? I don't know what you prefer, but I would say you've excelled.
Okay, just to add on to that, on what you asked, maybe I'll just share an experience I had. Okay, I remember it was, I really wanted to do a presentation on the reports that I was preparing. So I remember that Friday, we went and asked the portfolio manager with the guys, the investment guys. So they were like, can Faith do the report? So, you know, he was doubting, does she even know what she's going to say?
Yeah.
You know? And I'm the one who's been preparing this report, honestly. So, you're like, are you sure she's going to say something that's going to make sense? You know, I don't want to. Yeah, so... But anyway, I was with a lady, so she was like, yeah, she's going to do it. You just let her do it. Just give her a chance.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah, so I did it, and I must say, called me later, I was like, okay, I didn't expect that.
Hey. Wow.
So, yeah. So you see, that is maybe he thought, this one, I didn't find anything, so.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I'm glad I went beyond his expectations. And everyone came to the office and like, who was that presenting? Who is Faith?
Wow, congrats, man.
It's good that Faith is changing the way even our ladies who are listening to our podcast, they can also know that it's not really a male-dominated field, but also women can step up and take on the role. So it's actually really nice. I have a small sister who's also working towards
scholarship. Is interested in the stock market?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Have you already talked about some things?
Her brother is Warren Buffett. What do you mean?
Alikula dividends kidogo ya Safaricom this year akafurahia.
Oh, okay. I'm a chakwa shareholder kidogo by extension. Now, Faith, are there any specific challenges you would say ladies face within this particular profession?
I would say there are, because, you know, there's a profession that maybe it's considered to be for the male. Yeah. You know, when a lady says, I want to venture into research, maybe someone will look at you and be like, are you sure you're really going to make it? The first thing they do is they just doubt you. they doubt you, and they don't, okay, most of the time they don't think you'll deliver, you know. Actually, that is what comes into their mind. This one is not going to deliver. So they think men deliver better work than ladies do. So they'll say that's a challenge, but it's something that needs to change. Because if you find someone who's committed, I'm sure the person will give you what you want.
And to Rikard, anything like you guys have also noted, because I know you're really within that field. Is there anything particular you'd add to what she's already talked about in terms of the stereotypes and the challenges that ladies face within your field?
Well, personally, I think my opinion is completely opposed to what to Riker's opinion, because I think even where I work at AIB Axis with Faith, there are more women than men in the office. Like when you get in the office, a great majority of the people you meet are women. So for me, my perspective is not, let's say, warped, because around me, actually, it's inclusive. Basically, there are more women than men, honestly. So for me, I'm completely oblivious. I don't know about the rest of the industry or the industry as a whole, but speaking from my experience, that's been the case. But I totally relate with what Faith has mentioned. Because people, especially the older generation, they just have some prejudices that they need to work off. I think, you know, Edo, we've grown up in different times where women are more empowered and we're more cognizant of, you know, women's ability to deliver. But I'm hopeful because, as I said, our generation is different, thankfully. And the statistics show that there are more female students and male students in universities, if I'm not wrong. So sooner or later, that's just going to reflect in the corporate world and everything. Then I will start talking about the boy child again, because that's a whole other story.
Yeah.
But we could get into that today.
So Faith, I come back to you, of course, since you're the guest of the day. What would you say are probably some of your biggest failures, even as you've come into this profession, whether it was at campus level, high school level, what are maybe the pitfalls that you went through and how you overcame them?
First thing, maybe I'll just say this first.
Yeah.
Most people are not aware of especially this research industry. Okay, I don't know if I'm speaking of it in terms of where I was in Maseno.
Yeah.
Because, I was talking to my supervisor and she actually told me, Faith, you know, when you were interviewed and I saw your CV and I saw you're from Maseno, I was shocked. Because mostly we don't expect people from Maseno to be in this industry. Yeah. We normally see people from UoN, Strathmore, just the universities in Nairobi. So I was like, okay, so what's with Maseno that people don't want to be in this industry? And the one thing I realized is maybe we are not aware of it. There's not that direction. You know, you're there, you do you're taking your bachelor of maybe business administration in finance, but at the end of the day, you don't know exactly what you want to do. You just want a job. You don't have that direction. You don't have that direction. So maybe if we could say there could be these talks in universities. But I'm glad of what you guys are doing in Kwea, because I've not seen such kind of programs in Maseno, honestly. They're none.
Yeah.
The stock market challenge, you know, and all that. But it was so sad that you only had to include, I don't know, 4 universities. That's so sad.
Which is sad, yeah.
Yeah, hopefully it's going to escape. Because I think if even just having that challenge being national will spread a lot of, you know, knowledge about, people will be curious about, you know, about finance or the investment world. And it will make more people actually from maybe other parts of the country, you know, trying to get into the field. Because I think, as you said, Maseno people, it doesn't necessarily mean they have no interest. It's just, I think, the lack of exposure. Like, maybe they don't get to know that this is a career path that is possible for someone to pursue. Yeah.
because you know, when you even tell people, I was actually interacting with some of them. I was telling them, you know, this is what we do, this is what it is. They're like, what are those?
Yeah.
And I even told them how my interview was. I swear, ingekuwa ni mimi, ingekuwa tu hapo. I would have not even answered a single question. Because sijui. Because, you know, people don't know what's going on. You ask them, okay, how is the Kenyan shilling? They don't know. How is the... Mm-hmm. Maybe someone will just tell you, I had Safaricom with this. I think I can buy Safaricom shares. That's all they know. But
okay, and even the process to buy those shares. They're not aware.
Actually, they're not even aware of the process. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You talk to someone about money market, someone doesn't even know what a money market is. So you see, that's really a challenge. So yeah. I feel like there need to be that awareness, especially on this side.
financial literacy,
The people, maybe also the people in Nairobi, wamejanjaruka, but this like side.
I'm from the lakeside, but don't show me my people.
I'm also from the lakeside. There's really a lot of work that needs to be done on this other side. So if you're from the lakeside, kindly bring that knowledge. Yeah.
We'll come with the podcast. Nakinanto.
But I'm very curious. The fact that people still, even today in 2021, there are people in the countryside who don't know about, you know, much about investment. But if you go back maybe 20 years back, like most people interact with who have share certificates and all that, the people live in interiors. Companies issue shares to their employees. I don't know, ESOPs. They're called ESOP, Employee Share Ownership Programs.
Ownership scheme,
People, they used to be very common. That's why most of these old people have share certificates. They don't even know what a share is. They just know I have this and I have a right to dividends and all that. So I don't know what happened between them and us.
Our generation, Our generation, I think, is
now
distracted with social media a lot.
Mm-hmm.
If you compare videos on markets and other videos on markets, aina watu kabisa, aina mafan.
Taribia kina Terence creative biashara bwana.
But maybe it's because, you know, when you're telling someone, even go through a documentary of the financial crisis, they're really, hiyo kitu inabo, I can't.
True. I've gotten that a lot, actually. Faith, if you may not know, I'm a lawyer by profession, So when I used to try and talk to some of my friends even about these financial things, then they just want to talk about BBI and siasa. You leave them alone. Nothing you can really do. No, unajaribu kwa chanua, but then they're just thinking, BBI must fall, G Supreme Court. Those are not bad things. You can understand it's in line with the profession. But in terms of just even investing for your future needs, you know, securing your own future income.
So for our generation, not for our generation, just generally our education system has been doing us a disservice. Because unless you're doing finance, you have a chance. You're not assured if you're doing finance. You have a chance of at least getting a rough understanding of what financial markets are all about. And that's only for guys in finance. So all these other disciplines, it doesn't matter whether you're a doctor, you're a nurse, you're an engineer, whatever it is that you are, you'll still have your own money and you'll need to learn how to, you know, invest wisely, let it compound, and how where best to put your money. So this is an issue that cuts across. And you wonder why they don't have units even in university. Let's not even go to high school. There's business studies in high school. That's helping. But I think at uni level, there should be also units that just cut across all faculties that it doesn't matter what field you're in. You have to learn about financial markets and all that. So that when you're coming out here, at least you know what's going on.
But even some lecturers, they don't even own CDS accounts. And he's busy in class telling people how they should buy shares.
Budo umetupa shade, kuna lecturer upendi uko kwa.
Really?
Hey, you guys, I don't want us to be sued, bana. You know, I'm the lawyer here. I don't want us to be sued. Let me just advise you right now.
We love to edit some of these things out.
On that, I'll say actually the lecturers in Maseno are doing quite a lot of work. I'll just say it's the students that are not interested. For real. Because most of the units that we do are normally on financial markets, you know, the corporate finance, studying the companies and all that. But, you know, people don't take these things seriously. I'll actually tell you, you know, I also never used to take those things seriously. So, actually, say she gave me, you also say, when you're heartbroken, you get a character development. She gave me a very good character development.
Yeah.
Shouldn't I heartbreak?
I think your story, a crypto in Kusumbua, that crypto story, eh?
Okay, not even, okay, when I got there,
yeah.
So, you know, I was being asked, what do you know about research? So I was just there with my phone and the NSE app. So I just say, okay, me, Nikotuna NSE app, I just follow how the how those counters, the prices on the counters, that is what I follow. So like, okay, that's what you know about research. You know, they were shocked. Okay. They started asking me. Let's just start with there's something called the valuations of building the valuations of companies. Can you just tell us some of the methods? Guys, what are you guys talking about? I'm sure you've learned these things in school. Actually, just mention just one.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Character development.
You're in which year?
Third.
Sadia.
And they don't even know the valuation method. They just look at me and they're like, hey, what's trusty crazy? What do you guys learn at school? Or are you guys just read for exams, you know? You don't But I went back to my books and I got everything that they were talking about. You know, that's when I started taking my studies seriously. So in the lecture, I was keen. I didn't want to miss a thing.
Because you saw the value of it. It wasn't just for exams, but actual application in the world.
Exactly.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, okay. So what advice would you give to ladies who are currently in university, high school, primary, I mean, Reichardt sister? What advice would you give? Let's say it's like this, actually. What advice would you give to her? Hey, we will push your issue. what advice would you give to her as a lady who probably, or let me say as a young girl who wants to go into the same profession and who is looking up to you? What's the advice you'd give such a person?
What I'll say is, if you have passion for something, go for it. Don't let someone weigh you down or tell you you can't do it. If you're interested, if that's what really you want, just do it. On that, I'll just say, when I joined university, I actually wanted to do a business course. I just didn't have that direction of I was actually someday going to end up in research until the KC. So, but I knew I wanted to do something in business. Though people were against it and they were saying, you know, that goes for people who have C+, you know. But I'm actually looking at them right now. I'm saying, you guys will come for me. You will come to me for now. Advice. you know, you got A's, you went and did your quantitative affairs, your architecture, I don't know your what, but you'll come back to me for financial advice.
How they use their salaries.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So what I would say is, if you have passion for something, just go for it. Yeah, things will work out eventually.
Reichardt, what advice would you give?
The people
to your sister, considering she asks you. Yes, yes.
I'd say that she shouldn't only get the Kenyan mentality that investment is only on land. Because it's so overrated.
You've touched a nerve there.
So she should look at alternative investments like in the stocks, even fly to other countries, Uganda, Tanzania, to find value for their money. Because you go to Forbes, it changes every day. It changes every day because of people who are invested in the stock market.
Yeah, I think both of you have put it very, very well. I have very little to add. But at the end of the day, as far as getting into finance is concerned, you're most likely to stick with it for the long term if you're following your passion. So if your passion is in finance, be very intentional about it. As Faith said, most people just do certain things just, and then when they're done, maybe like you study in school a business related course, and then you just get whatever job just because it was available. But when you have a passion, it really helps when you're intentional and you reach out to people, especially for the case of ladies. I think if you just join LinkedIn and whatever career path you want to get into, you can't miss a lady who's already doing that, or someone. It doesn't have to be a lady, by the way. You can even reach out to our in-house fund manager here, Reka Damara. Just reach out to these people, try to find out as much as you can, and then it's easier when you have when someone tells you a path that you can follow to get to where what you're working towards, then you know, trying things out on your own. So my advice is just seek advice. It's usually better when you have a lot of people out there who are, you know, they might be strangers, but at least they know you exist and they know you are passionate about it. And see, that's how opportunity comes around.
Yeah. Wow.
True.
Okay. I don't know if you should add anything. I think that advice is as solid as it can get. Mm-hmm. So mine would just be, of course, to thank Faith. Being our first guest on the show. We really appreciate the insight you've brought, the conversations we've had so far. And we hope you'll come back. Hope you'll come back maybe with your own investment bank. So you come on Ataka Kufungua Yako.
But if you invite me, I will.
Yeah. Hope you'll come back when you've opened your own. Yeah.
Yeah.
So being the first guest, maybe we can just ask a few more questions. I mean, tell us something about yourself, like maybe not many people know about. Tell us maybe a financial show you think everyone should watch. I think I'd rather stick with an interesting fact.
Something or like, both.
Yeah, or both. Yeah, whichever. You can just say.
Okay, I think you've noticed this. I laugh a lot, by the way.
Guilty as charged.
That's why my volume was up.
Okay, I normally, I'm a fan of documentaries.
Oh, awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, documentaries, financial documentaries. Yeah, most of them just going to YouTube.
Is there any we should watch? Do you think there's any, all of our listeners should watch, including the hosts?
I think maybe we've watched most of them. Okay, most of the ones that I normally watch are on the crisis. Yeah, what really happened back then, just trying to understand how it all started.
Yeah.
If these things are to happen again in future, you know. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I normally look at them, and also movies. Yeah, there are movies on finale, Big Short. Yeah,
oof, my favorite movie of all time. Hey, I have to watch it every year.
Yeah, for real,
there's a certain scene I enjoy. I even watch it on YouTube. Where this guy Steve Carell,
mm-hmm.
When he meets the investment banker, that CDO manager, when they've mm-hmm. gone for the talk in Las Vegas, I love that scene. I just love the attitude with that CDO manager, that Chinese guy. I don't know if you can remember that scene.
That was a good one,
but I love that movie.
Yeah, it's an honestly interesting movie.
Margin Call.
Yeah, Margin Call is a good one also.
But this is another one from the 90s. It's called Trading Places. Eddie Murphy.
Hey, serious?
Yeah.
Never heard
of
that.
Yeah, Trading Places. Just look, it was a hit, man. You should watch that one. I definitely recommend that one.
Okay.
Yeah, and Faith. The one, Wolf of the Wall Street. Is that? Yeah, Wolf of the Wall
Street. Yeah, Wolf of the Wall Street. Wall Street. Yeah.
Of course. Who has not watched that one? Even if you're not interested in financial markets.
I've just watched them, like, I want to be this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's just what I do most of the time. Yeah.
Billions? But, do you watch Billions?
No, I haven't watched it, but now that you've said, I think I will. Okay, I will.
Industry. Have you guys watched Industry?
I will.
Industry is another good show.
But they were dealers. Yeah, Industry was a good one.
Actually, I think Industry really captures, because Billions is a bit more dramatic and they have both the law and the politics and all that. Industry is purely financial.
Another
one called Devils. I don't know if you've heard of Devils before.
Devils? No, yeah. I'm definitely watching that one.
Oh, actually, they're both British, even Industry, yeah?
Yeah.
So I think we need to have an episode where Rekad also tells us some of his interesting facts about himself. we dedicate like 30 minutes to all those secrets. Eh? Oh, yeah, by the way, yeah. Any question?
Okay, what really inspired you guys to start the Market Meetup podcast?
Wow. And
that's a loaded question, because I think each of us, we might have our own reasons and everything. Yeah, but I think if I were to boil down to one reason, I'd say, first off, being in finance, you have to keep up with markets, keep up with what's going on. Maybe like for a case, me and Rekad, we are global macro traders. So a major part of global macro is keeping up with happenings in different parts of the world and trying to build an investment thesis from that. It can be geopolitics, it can be economic data, it can be commodity prices, you know, whatever. So we realize that first off, by default, we have to consume a significant amount of information, and we'd have conversations, or we'll go deep into markets, and we'll just, you know, we'll talk for hours. And I was, one day I was thinking to myself, I was like, what if we just, the same conversations we have, what if we just record them and put them out there as a podcast? So that's just how it came. It was a natural step for us to take, because we're already doing these things. We might as well just record them and put them out there. And also, it really helps when you want to reach like-minded people. Because now Faith has met Rekad and Abraham, just because we decided to put out a podcast. Yeah, so I'd say that's the reason that's the reason. Maybe the other hosts have their own whys, but that's at the end.
Thank you.
Covered it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's just the same thing. We just have a similar interest in these things. Mm-hmm. As I've told you, sadly, I'm the odd one out because I'm a lawyer here. maybe I should be discussing what's going on in BBI. these guys have never made me feel, as much as I'm the odd one out, I've never really felt like I'm an odd one out. I feel like I'm really part of the family. I contribute to these discussions. Mm-hmm. But as I said, I was a potential economist. Kama kunge kwana calculus, would have done economics. But since it was there, I decided to go this other route. And my interest in capital markets and finance has been there for quite a while. If you had our first episode, that's something we talked about with Anto. How right from high school we used to always discuss about stock market and all these things, yeah. And now we're here with a podcast. I still can't believe it, yeah. That was so many years ago. So yeah, we just have a shared interest, common goal. And it's just a nice place to discuss with other people your different views of the market and all that.
Yeah, but then this episode, as we told you, usually you said you're used to 30 minutes. Look, we've already clocked in 1 hour and 20 minutes. So when you're talking markets, we usually joke with Rekad, when you're talking markets, you never know how long it's going to take. We can start a phone call, you think it's going to be 10 minutes, we're still talking like 2 hours later. So thank you for coming through, honestly. We'll definitely have you in more episodes. I think the listeners will like, you know, the switch up and everything, having a lady around.
Yeah, it's a good idea. Yeah.
It was actually interesting, yeah. Being the first time doing it. Yeah, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said,
you're famous now.
We baptized you at least.
I like how you say what you guys are doing. What you guys are doing is actually good, because it's good to discuss. It makes you understand better. Because I'll also say the discussions we have in the morning on what's going on just globally. Yeah. it does help in terms of if there's something that maybe I may not be understanding, but you know, the other person will be understanding it better. Yeah, so I'll say what you guys are doing is great.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah, so I think at that point we can wrap up today's episode. I'm hoping the next episode we need to agree we have to talk about crypto. It's been long overdue since it came up in this episode, came up in the previous episode, came up in the third episode. So we should probably consider that in the coming future. But we also hope our listeners can just give us their own ideas. If there's a specific topic you'd like us to go into, learning how to trade on the NSE, trading generally, buying shares, whatever the case may be, whether it's related to economics, financial markets, to geopolitics, the answers are here. And we'll be ready to help you out on the same. Otherwise, please follow us on our socials, on Twitter, on YouTube, at the Market Twitter Podcast, and share the podcast widely also. Thanks again for listening, and have a great week ahead, guys.
Thank you for it coming through. It was a good episode.
Thanks for inviting me too. It's a pleasure to meet you.